Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
I like that. Not heard that before. Under the Sun by Cheryl. Playing that because we're going to hear out an interview I recorded earlier this week with Dr. Frank King and Leader Kindersley. Dr. Frank King, he's chair of the British Sundial Society, and Leader Kindersley, she's the stonecutter. You may know the Kindersley Cardoza workshop, which is on Victoria Road. They've written together a book about sundials called Cutting Time. And when I went along to the book launch on Thursday, they managed to spare a few minutes with me, tear themselves away from their champagne and crowds of people. There were lots of people there celebrating the launch of this book, to tell me why they'd written a book about sundials.
Well, I think the very good reason for having a book about sundials is that we simply haven't produced a book about sundials so far, and it's high time we did. So at last, we have a book on sundials out and available for people to enjoy.
And people love sundials, don't they? They're beautiful things.
They certainly should be beautiful things. I have to say, not all of them are quite as beautiful as the ones Leda makes.
Leda, yes, you make sundials. Mm. How many have you made over the years?
27, 28 now, is it? Or is it 27? Anyway, we sort of do one every other year or so. And it's lovely when they come back because they sort of mark time. So quite often they are, you know, presents or people who mark time together, like being married for 40 years. Or they're just wonderful things to have on the house, and you just walk by and you say, hey, we are here in this universe, you know, and there is the evidence. And I must say that Frank was saying that just now, but a lot of sundials are beautifully calculated, or quite well calculated, and then they're not so nice to look at. And I think they should be, apart from absolutely precisely calculated, that's why I could never do a sundial without Frank, but they should be beautiful things, because as Gil said, beauty looks after herself, so they will then just be there.
So how do you two work together then to produce a sundial? What would be the normal course of events?
Is there a normal course of events?
Well, somebody will commission a sundial, and Leda will come to me and say, so-and-so would like a sundial, and I say, what sort? And the obvious preliminary question is, do they want a horizontal sundial, something probably on a pedestal, or do they want a wall sundial, something on a wall, or there can be other kinds of sundial besides, but those are the most common choice to distinguish between. And then having decided which sort, the next question we have to establish is where is the location? Because it's extremely important to know the latitude. And in the case of a vertical sundial, we have to know the orientation of a wall too. I can then do the calculations and say, this is where the lines have to be. And Leda knows full well that she can provided she gets the lines with the correct angle, she can have them as long or as short as she likes, and she can introduce all kinds of ornamentation, which brings the whole thing to life.
And how easy is it to make a sundial?
Easy, I think, is not really a word when it comes to sundials. For us, it's very easy to actually use Frank's calculations. That's where the clever stuff lies. Because I think Frank is incredibly clever, and Frank probably thinks that I'm quite clever in doing what we are doing. So there's this real, this is not just because we're here together, this is real love and respect for each other, that I know when we do a sundial, we will give our best, and I know it will be accurate, because it would be very frustrating to think, well, this is probably going to be all right, but we, you know, but so it's a very much a two-way thing, and beauty and functionality in this case really do make one thing that is, to me, completely stunning.
Yeah. And who is this book aimed at?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, everybody, because sundials are such extraordinary things. And I hadn't realised quite how many people get excited by this book, because I thought, you know, it's a bit, sorry, Frank, it's a bit geeky, you know, to like sundials, because they're very specific and there's a lot of calculation in it, and our work anyway. I've written 25 books and they're never bestsellers, because it's lettering, you know, who is interested? Street lettering is ours. I mean, you see lettering everywhere. It's so common, in inverted commas, you know, that to actually have that together, it seems to have got lots of people out of dark places who were basking in the sun and loving sundials. It's, to me, been a complete surprise.
Yes, the book is undoubtedly there telling a story, and I followed, and very much followed, the advice given to Stephen Hawking by his publishers, which is that every equation appearing in a book will halve the readership. And so I've solved that problem by having no equations in the book at all, notwithstanding that sundial design is a very mathematical activity. Even so, you can read the whole book, understand how sundials work, without seeing any mathematics at all.
And the book itself is a sundial.
And indeed, the book itself is a sundial. The end flap folds out. You stand the book on its pages, so the book itself is held vertically, and the book serves as a gnomon, and the two edges of the book cast a shadow onto the end flap, and from that, if you have the thing correctly oriented, you can tell the time.
And you're chair of the British Sundial Society. What do they do?
Well, the British Sundial Society is a kind of organising body for the United Kingdom, and indeed for quite internationally. We have about 350 members, and a good many of those, probably 70 or 80, are overseas. So although it's the British Sundial Society, in some sense we ought to have brackets international somewhere. And this is for anybody who is interested in sundials, and there is a huge range of reasons for enjoying sundials. Some people just like taking photographs of sundials. Some people like going around collecting sundials, finding them in obscure places. Some people like designing sundials. Some people do the kind of thing in an amateurish way that Leda does. Other people do in an amateurish kind of way the thing I do. And then there are yet other people who study the history of sundials and look up obscure Latin texts describing sundials of medieval times, and so on. There is a range of activity associated with sundials, something for absolutely everyone.
And is Cambridge a good place for sundials?
Cambridge is a particularly good place for sundials. I have no idea how many sundials there are in Cambridge altogether, but if you include the ones which are in, say, the Whipple Museum, in a single case they've got 200 sundials. Cambridge is an absolutely excellent place for sundials, including just the odd one or two by Leda and me.
Do you have a favourite sundial?
Well, there are a lot of sundials which I'm quite keen on, and if I dismiss the ones that belong to Leda and me, the one I enjoy most is actually in Rome. It was created by a man called Francesco Bianchini in 1703, and it's one of these rather strange sundials which you just don't have in this country, where you have a hole in the roof of a basilica, and this casts an image of a sun onto the floor, and from this you can make all kinds of precision measurements, and it's beautiful as well. So 300 plus years ago, there were Bianchini and his colleagues making sundials really every bit as elegant as the ones that Leda and I can do.
And what about you, Leda? Do you have a favourite one that you've made?
Oh, no, well, that's always so difficult. It's like a favourite piece of music, isn't it? It depends very much on the mood and on the day. On the whole, then this sounds terribly hackneyed, I know, I love the one I'm working on, you know. So it's always, once something is done and it's in its place, I must say one that is at the forefront of my mind is one that has two dials. And when my husband was still alive, David Kindersley, he thought it might have just one gnomon and then cast a shadow to the left and the right on the dials, because the point of the house was facing south. And that's when Frank came in and said, well, no, that wouldn't work. You need two gnomons, two pointers, you know, two pointers that cast a shadow. And that became quite a complicated calculation for us. So we asked Frank, and he was seen as the expert, which at that stage I don't think you were yet. He is certainly now. And so we made that one, and of course had to fix it very precisely, because if it's not exactly 90 degrees, it still wouldn't tell the right time. And quite a bit of the day, both gnomons are telling the same time, so it would be horrible if you... and that's high on my list of favourites, I must say.
And if somebody's listening to this thinking, this sounds a great book, it's for a general reader. I mean, what yeah. kind of thing is contained in the book?
Well, it's very much, as Frank said, we've been on this for about 25 years, and I also said to Frank, you know, but he also said it himself already, really, we don't want lots of equations that people... Because there are books, if you're serious about sundials and you want to really know the ins and outs of sundials, you can find very big, complicated books, can't you, with equations. This is really just to give an insight on how it works, how different sundials work. They don't all have a gnomon that casts a shadow, as Frank was saying. In the basilica, you can have a hole and then cast light on a point, like our noon dial for the, you know, in London, next to St. Paul's Cathedral. And so we've done lots of different ones, and I think that's what's fun about this book, because I can't really say that, but I'm going to say it also, because we are very good at making beautiful things. It sounds terrible, Frank. You should have said it, because I sound terribly pleased with myself.
Well, the book is very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, we wanted to make it, the book itself is a thing of beauty, apart from the fact that it is a sundial. There are wonderful little maps that Fiona Boyd, who works with me, who is wonderful, she made lovely drawings. And all the photographs are good. And Frank, of course, you can find him at any time, standing by a sundial, waiting for it to turn 12 o'clock. You know, he's absolutely on the ball. So we have good photographs. It's just a lovely book. And I think both Frank and I are so passionate about it. We just had to do it. It was not a choice, really. We just had to do it. Yeah.
It is a beautiful book indeed. And if you're interested in finding that book, buying the book, or finding out more about Leader's work, then you can buy it and find out more on the website, which is kindersleyworkshop.co.uk, kindersleyworkshop.co.uk. And the Cardozo Kindersley Workshop also has a Facebook page.